Well, we've all talked about the gap between science and consciousness. This time we're going to talk about it with a modern-day mystic, Peter Schenck, right here on Coast to Coast AM, and he's next. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about Peter Schenck, but I'm going to have him explain a little bit more about himself in a moment here. In addition to developing and perfecting powerful quantum energy-based software platforms, he's called the modern-day mystic. He's the founder, Peter Schenck, provides continued outreach through podcasts, lectures, workshops, and one-on-one sessions. For nearly 20 years, he's been on a mission to marry the physical and the metaphysical through the mystical powers of numbers. Before creating modern-day mystic, Peter developed software to bolster the fortunes of one of the largest financial institutions on the planet. Peter, welcome to the program.
George, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I hope you are, too.
We are. I'm just finishing up my third cup of coffee here on the East Coast. I'm about to rock it with you.
Do you normally stay up this late?
I do not. I actually managed to grab a few hours of sleep.
Well, we got to get you hooked as a Coast Insider so you can listen to the show whenever you want during the daytime.
I'd like that very much.
Tell me a little bit more about yourself, other than the bio that we just had.
So, you know, to really understand where we are today and where we're going tomorrow, you have to understand the origins of my beginning. And that really started back in the summer of 2004. And at the speed of thought, everything changed for me, literally. And before that moment, I was about halfway through my tenure at one of the world's largest financial institutions. I was an engineer with computers. I did a lot of programming, engineered some and managed teams, big systems, things like that. You know, it was all about keeping up with the Joneses, bigger house, more cars, making more money. I was married at the time, two beautiful children. But, the more money I was making, the harder I was working, the less of a human I became. I felt less fulfilled. And at that time, you know, things like discernment, unconditional love of self, gratitude, you know, they were so far removed from my current trajectory and reality that, you know, I was in this spiral going down, just completely empty pit. And it was August 8th, 2004. I was doing some work, and at the speed of thought, my entire reality changed. So what does that mean? So if you can imagine for a minute, George, seeing your entire life through your eyes in black and white, at the speed of thought, everything became high definition.
Was it like an epiphany for you, Peter?
It was an epiphany. It was an opening. It was my time to wake up and start making change on the planet. And literally, the moment after that, I was given what they call the gift of sight. I was able to physically see energy in everything. And it was amazing and scary at the same time. And for about a six-week period, George, I thought I had literally gone insane.
Really?
Oh, my God. And remember, I was still holding a day job, being a dad, and I was in this perpetual, I don't know if you could call it an acid trip if you wanted to, but I was seeing energies in everything. And the one thing that kept me going, literally, was the thought that had I gone insane, I was better off being this new me than where I came from. Because everything I was looking at was magical. You know, an infant up until about the ages of maybe 8 or 9 months sees the world as magic. Everything is magic. And that's what I was rediscovering, getting back in touch with my roots. So after about 6 weeks, I started playing with the energies and learning from them. And, you know, the communication in the early days would start off as a vibration. You'd feel something when you put your attention on the energies. And in my belief system, George, I believe everything has consciousness. And these quantum consciousnesses don't learn at the rate of a human. They learn at a quantum rate, which is super accelerated beyond anything we can do. And it very quickly turned to human language. So after about 12 weeks, I found myself having these deep conversations with energy. And that is when the real learning began. Okay, that's when I started to figure out, you know, that I have a job to do. And my job was to take skills that I had learned in my professional life and start applying them to ancient knowledge and come up with products that can help humanity move people from a life stuck in fear into a loving world.
Did you self-teach yourself, Peter?
I did. I had made, I was schooled in with non-physical energies, okay? So the great ascended master, Saint Germain, was one of my biggest confidants. He schooled me in many, many ways, and he taught me to do the impossible and see the invisible. And
had you been around like during the Beatles era, you probably would have gone to see the Maharishi or something like that.
It very well could have. So, you know, the teachings, the learnings, they never stop. And, you know, as I progressed through this kind of, you know, so it was very hard to describe what I was going through that first year. But, you know, I started reaching out to humans, to people, because I was desperate to understand what was going on. And the first crowd I came across was like the New Age, love and light crowd. And I got kind of turned off from them and pushed away a little bit. And then I became very, very grounded. And that's when the real work began. And I came across the work of Dr. Emoto, who was at the time a brilliant Japanese researcher.
Had him on my show once before he passed away.
You know, George, I never met the man in life, but I've had many conversations in death with him. He was brilliant beyond his years. And, you know, what I learned from him, I watched a YouTube video where he wrote a symbol on a piece of tape. I believe it was the Japanese symbol for love, and he taped it to the outside of a glass. And then he played some music through the water, and when you peeled the tape back, you could see the symbol on the inside of the glass, and it just blew me away. I had no idea that if you were to move energy through water, that you could actually change the structure somehow.
It was amazing. And now, for people who might not remember who he was, let me quickly, Peter, tell folks that Dr. Emoto, one of his major experiments was playing music, harsh music and soft music, towards a glass of water. Then he would freeze it, cut it, and look at it under a microscope, frozen water. And the water pattern that was bombarded with what we would call pleasant music looked gorgeous. The water that was looked under a microscope with harsh music looked all discombobulated. Is that a pretty good paraphrase, Peter, of who he was?
Absolutely perfect. And, you know, I was so blown away by this. Now, I knew, based on having the gift of sight, that I could extrapolate frequencies for anything I wanted to. And, you know, I had this idea to possibly, you know, deliver intention into water somehow. And I played around with the idea a little bit in my head, and I came up with an idea that I could write a computer program that would allow me to create a frequency within an image or a pattern and then possibly project that into water. And the idea really fascinated me, but I had no idea how you could get the frequency from the computer into water. Now, people have been programming water since time immemorial, and they do it many, many different ways. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to take 30 seconds out and just teach people a very quick way
go ahead.
To program water. So energies that are in physical form or non-physical form would do absolutely anything for you as long as you acknowledge their existence. It's the highest form of gratitude that you can show. And water just happens to be the most programmable material on the planet. So if you were to take a bottle of water or a glass of water and just simply place it in front of you on the desk and take your left hand and raise it over the water about 3 inches and spread your fingers, in about 10 seconds, what you'll feel is energy running down through your hand. And it can feel like a bolt of lightning. It can come in the form of heat. And once you start to feel that energy run through your hand, you simply put your attention on the water and repeat 8 magical words. And those words are, I honor the space in which you exist. I honor the space in which you exist. I honor the space in which you exist. And what you'll feel is that energy then really increases through your hand. So after about 10 seconds, you can go ahead and drink as much of the water as you want. And what you'll notice is it's very smooth and silky.
You're changing the whole complexity of it, aren't you?
Exactly. Exactly. And that particular mantra, I honor the space in which you exist, is really just a goodwill blessing to kind of set the tone and the stage for the show and also put you into a really good, you know, good feeling. So that is at its simplest how people, you know, potentially could program water. Now,
or themselves.
Or, well, here's a bit of a caveat, okay? Water inside the human body vibrates at different levels to hold different types of body functions, right?
But doesn't the mood, Peter, when the moon has its gravitational pull, people seem to act weird during full moons. As a matter of fact, I've interviewed emergency medical first responders, and they say, without a doubt, when there's a full moon, they know they're going to get more calls for accidents, crimes, all kinds of things. I think it's the pull of the gravity, you know, from the moon on people's bodies. We're all water.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the frequency in the water in the body, the vibration is changing. Exactly how that happens with the moon pull, I don't know. But you're absolutely right. During a full moon, people do act a little bit more strangely.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do.
Now you call the moon.
You call yourself the modern day mystic. Tell me how you got that.
So, in product creation, in everything I do, it really represents past, present, and future. It's ancient knowledge brought together in state-of-the-art teachings, metallurgy, fabrication processes, or technology in a futuristic design. So what I do is very modern, but it's an ancient, hence the mystic.
When you've done this to change yourself, are you happier now?
You know, happy is...
It's all relative.
It's all relative. I am in a space of perpetual happiness. I love myself, George. Absolutely. I absolutely love myself. And that will truly allow me to love others. And when you have the capacity of your own free will, mind you, to help somebody in whatever capacity you can, whatever you create, the first time I actually did that, it was a feeling unlike anything else I had ever experienced that was paralleled, even my wake-up experience. And that brought a sense of self and joy to me that I had never felt before in my life, especially prior to my wake-up experience being that empty shell.
I bet you can tell if you go into a party or some lounge or anything. You can sense almost immediately people who have been able to control themselves a little better, like you have, as opposed to somebody who isn't. I bet you can just spot them, can't you?
Yeah, and you know what? It happens to us all the time. let's just say, for instance, you're in a restaurant. I'm sure this has happened to you. You're in a restaurant, you know, everyone's blah, 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 talking, and then someone walks into the restaurant. Now, they might not be the best-looking person, or they might be, and for a microsecond, the entire restaurant pauses, looks at that person, and continues on, and they don't even skip a beat. That person is exuberating an unconditional love of self that just goes out. And again, we live in a world of frequencies,
right.
And people that emit certain frequencies, you know, when it hits others, sometimes they can tell, sometimes they can't.
And it's not with everybody.
Oh no, absolutely not.
I mean, somebody could walk in the restaurant, nobody even turn around.
Exactly, and unfortunately, that's most of the population. But you know, with myself and others and you, you know, we're helping to make people aware in raising that vibration of the planet to, you know, to what end?
Hopefully, when they turn around to look at somebody, it's a very positive moment for everybody. But there are times that look with that person who comes in that room is not a good one. So how do you distinguish the difference between somebody who illuminates as opposed to somebody who is like a psychic vampire?
So for me, it's feeling first and foremost, even before my physical eyesight can, or, you know, the ability that I have to look at somebody over distance, it's always a feeling. Okay. You exuberate beautiful energy. You just do. That's who you are. And I knew that, you know, even before I looked at you energetically. So if someone was to walk into that restaurant that was a psychic vampire, even before I turned around, I'd feel this just cold chill would go right down my spine. And I would get, you know, anxious very quickly, or the angst would take. But then I would lock on to them, and I would be able to see them for who they truly are. And then,
do you try to help them, or do you try to get away from them?
You know, I release, see, I don't, this is a little bit more complicated. Let me go into this quickly. I don't truly believe in good or bad or light versus dark. I believe in levels of vibration.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And in my belief system, everything comes from what I call source. And source is the Godhead. It's Buddha, it's Jesus, it's whoever you want it to be. And that is the highest vibration of love and light. Okay. And the first ring outside of source is the archangels, and the further you get out from source, the lower you vibrate, okay? And everyone in existence vibrates at different levels. So if someone comes into that restaurant and they are vibrating low, what I do is very quickly just look at them and repeat those eight magical words, I honor the space in which you exist, and it raises their vibration. It transmutes them back to the light, thereby releasing them consciously or unconsciously from being that vampire if they don't know that's what they are.
Interesting.
So it's always about, you know, raising. Okay, so here's a little example. You have a room, okay, it has no windows and no doors, and it's completely black. What happens when you turn on the brightest light? The darkness goes away. And then you have a room that's filled with bright light. Can the darkness exist? Absolutely not. So in essence, the light can always exist without the darkness, but the darkness can never exist without the light. So a person like that typically has something in their past, this black mass of something that keeps them grounded in the present, unable to move forward in the future. And there's an old cliche, the truth shall set you free. That's absolute nonsense. Facing, George, the things that cannot be undone shall set you free. So, for instance, that black mass that person is experiencing, we know based on that little analogy that there is a pinprick of light in that black mass. And if you look for it, you'll always find it. And then when you find it, you can draw strength from it, releasing yourself in the present, allowing you to move forward in the future.
All right, Peter, hang with us. We're going to take a quick break. We will come back and talk about consciousness in just a moment. We are with the modern-day mystic, Peter Schenck, and we're going to take calls with Peter next hour. Have you ever walked into a room and you felt exactly what he's been talking about? Maybe. We're going to talk about consciousness in a moment when we come back. And welcome back. We're with a modern-day mystic, Peter Schenk. Peter, let's talk a little bit about consciousness, your definition of what consciousness is.
So I believe wholeheartedly through my experiences that consciousness is the center of creation, your consciousness. And everything that revolves around you is a projection of your consciousness. Okay, so for instance, you know, you've heard many, many people say in some capacity that you create your reality as you move through it. And there's so much truth to that, right? Your consciousness creates your reality as you move through it, George. So for instance, at night when you go to bed, if you have a positive thought before you go to sleep, your dreams will reflect that thought. Okay, if you have a negative thought, your dreams will reflect that. In your waking moments, when you wake up in the morning, if you have a positive thought, your day will be positive. If you have a negative thought, your day will be negative. So in essence, your environment mimics what your consciousness is putting out, okay? And that, and knowing that, gives you the capacity to create, consciously create, your reality as you move through it, okay? So let's say, for instance, you are working on a project, okay? And that project lasts for 6 weeks, and then, you know, it's a lot of work, and now it's over and done with. And at the end of it, you wake up and you look back and you connect, your consciousness connects the point in time which you started the project to where you are now, negating all the time in between. That's called waking up in the dream. You're consciously created that stretch of time in that project. That's called waking up in the dream.
Interesting. Now, with consciousness, is it within the brain or outside of the brain?
So the brain is part of the construct, right? The consciousness envelops everything. The body is part of the consciousness. You know, the chair you're sitting in, the walls around you, it's all part of the consciousness. The consciousness is everything. There is no solid piece to the consciousness. It's everywhere and it's nowhere. It represents past, present, and future. And there is only consciousness. So when you think about it as just a pinprick of light in this sea of blackness, okay? And that sea of blackness is everything that your consciousness will form around you to create your reality. And the past and the future are constantly racing around your consciousness, which is really the now, which is, you know, the moment in the middle. And they rage around you all the time. That's why people, you know, have the conscious ability to tap into other realms, other multiverses, other universes, if you will, to extract, you know, conscious information through the zero point.
Peter, since you've been doing this, do you work with other people? Or are you doing this just for yourself?
So to be clear, I do have team members that help me, but I'm doing it for not humanity. I want to be clear about this. I'm doing it for the planet. Okay? Because
tell me the difference.
Well, to say I'm doing it to help people really implies ego and leaves everything else that's a part of, you know, my mission, my job, out of it.
Okay.
People, humanity, are part of everything, and everything is what I'm trying, working towards raising the vibration of. Every person I help, okay, every person that I help raise their vibration a little bit, they are in turn raising the vibration of everything around them, and they're spreading a little bit more love and light in the world, okay? And ultimately, George, that's what it's about. It's about raising the vibration through any and all means at your disposal, okay? The universe woke me up, okay? They gave me the tools and equipped me, you know, with this beautiful metaphysical mind and this razor-sharp analytical mind to create products and services unlike the world has ever seen. And I utilize this knowledge to not only help people, but to help the planet, right? And, you know, I do certain things to raise the vibration of the planet, but ultimately the more people that we can reach and they raise their little vibration, you know, I'm just doing my small part. There's a lot of others that are doing beautiful work out there as well to help raise the consciousness, and in turn that, you know, helps others. So it's not about humanity, it's really about the planet and everything in creation.
Peter, not everybody has the drive to push and move forward. Some people give up. They give up much easier than other people. Why is this? Is this something that they were born with, that they were trained? I mean, were they put down by their parents? And then other people have this drive to succeed.
So, you know, a lot of it has to do with the individual, okay? And, you know, I alluded earlier that I got turned off by a certain crowd of people, you know, early on in my wake-up experience, George, because all I saw them do was talk about doing, and they're good people. They're good people, George, but all they do is talk, okay? And they regurgitate information that's been around forever, and they give it a new spin, they give it something agey, and it sounds great, and there it is. And, you know, when I woke up, I was not passionate. I was not inspired, George, because those are temporary. I was driven, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you are driven, there is nothing that comes that'll stand between you and your end result, okay? If something comes in to stop you, the universe will come in and take it out. And that drive to be driven is something that you have to learn. Okay, because when you're, you know, so let's use like a New Year's resolution, for instance, right? Okay, I'm going to buy a piece of gym equipment January 1st. Okay, in 3 months, we all know that's going to be the world's most expensive coat hanger. So you buy a year gym, you know, you buy a membership at the gym, right? Okay, you're going to use it for 2 months, but you're going to pay for it for 12 months, yeah. Right? You know, you're going to try that fab new diet. You know, that's going to work for about 3 weeks, okay?
Why do people give
up? Because you're motivated and they're inspired. You're not driven. When you are driven to see something through to completion, you are this unstoppable force of creation, okay? Every fiber of your being, and more importantly, okay, some people that lack the aptitude to see things through to completion don't concentrate on the end result. And this is so, because remember, everything we're talking about is that conscious creation, you know, creating your reality as you move through it. But I never, ever worry about the path, okay, where I am now to where I'm going. I always keep my focus on the end result, okay? I create that end result in my head in anything I do in life, in creating a product, in you know, driving my daughter to college, whatever I'm doing, okay? It's always keeping your mind on the end result, and that will help you become driven to see things through. And some people, you know, they got it all backwards. They worry about the path and how they're going to do it when they don't understand that, you know, conscious creation and you know, bringing things into fruition isn't about the path. It's always about the end result.
When I was younger, Peter, I wanted to excel at everything I did. I wasn't successful at everything I did, but I wanted to excel at everything I tried, whether it was playing baseball or football on the high school team or in theater or going to college or whatever I did. I wanted to be, for myself, the best I could be, and I haven't stopped. It's been this way for me since I've been a kid. Was I born with this?
Well, let me ask you a question. When you say you want to excel at everything you do, let's just, for example, we'll just call it Plan A. Tomorrow you're going to undertake Plan A. How do you work through the mechanics in your head? And then I'll explain the difference of whether you were born with it or whether you learned it over time.
I think it through. I try to be organized when I do these things. But it, my biggest approach is I just don't give up. I just keep coming at it.
So you're driven.
Driven, extremely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's awesome. So a couple things. You have the capacity to step outside your comfort zone. Okay, so in life, most people live inside the confines of a box.
Mm-hmm. See, I make my comfort zone wherever I am. That becomes my comfort zone.
Let me finish, and okay. then you'll see where I'm going with
all
that.
Right.
So a person's comfort zone is a box, and if we get stressed out, we build those walls a little bit thicker, and we make the roof a little bit higher, okay? But right outside your comfort zone is where the magic of the universe happens, and if you have that capacity to just put your foot outside there for a second and get your toe wet, you'll know that you'll have the entire backing of the universe. Now, that happens to some people consciously, and it happens to others unconsciously. And I want to be clear. Word verbiage, and whether you're passionate or you're driven about anything you're doing, is paramount, okay? People like yourself that are driven to see things through to completion, whatever it is, like me, have to be very, very careful of word choice, okay? When you say things like, I'm trying, I'm going to try, mm-hmm. you're automatically setting yourself up for failure. You're only going to be motivated and inspired, which means that, you know, halfway through the project, you're just going to peter out, and that's going to...
Right, good point.
That, you know, you're just going to slow down. So when you use those words, you're setting your consciousness up for failure as you're moving down this path, because trying, in other words like that, keep you stuck in neutrality. If you say, I am working towards that end result, and then keep your mind on the end result and how you want it to come to pass, it absolutely always will, George.
Interesting. Now, how many people have that confined box? Because I tend to make that box bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't want to confine myself.
Well, let's be clear about the definition of that, okay? Everyone has it. We're all born with it. It's just how you perceive to step outside of it, okay? You might be making yours bigger and bigger and bigger, but actually what's happening is you are expanding your awareness outside that box, okay? Where you might... Okay, so let's say back to plan A, you know, you're going to push the path a little bit, then you're going to reassess your comfort zone, but you're always keeping your eye, George, on the end result, and that's perfectly fine. But everyone has that box. We all do. It's just how we step outside it or how we perceive it really dictates how we move forward.
Is there anything wrong with people who like to stay within that box and not step outside of it?
No, there's nothing wrong with it at all. I mean, most of the planet's already like that.
I mean, for example, they're not risk takers, but they're very happy with what they do.
You know, risk taking probably isn't the best word. It's really, you know, having maybe that aptitude to see a little bit further ahead. You know, I would not call myself a risk taker, but what I am is a trailblazer.
Well, that's big.
I stand apart from the empire on purpose because, you know, I want to bring knowledge to the world from a very innocent and refined view and not step on the toes or get caught up in, you know, the ancient scripts and everything else. It's already been convoluted 10 different ways from Saturday, you know what I mean? But, you know, is that risk-taking? No, I'm just pushing the envelope mm-hmm. of creation, and I'm doing it. And here's the most important part. Even with Plan A or whatever you do, it's all about having fun. Ever since I woke up, George, I told the universe, okay, wholeheartedly, that the day this becomes work, I will walk away. I will grow my hair long.
Perfect.
I will put on Jesus slippers and a robe, and I will walk the American Southwest and heal people. Okay, that's what I said I would do, and I have held true to that since day one. Okay, but it's never come to that. Yes, it's work, but here's the cool part: the work is always fun, and I know you can relate to that, George.
Yeah. If it's not fun, it's not worth doing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's hard work, it's dedication, but you're right. You have to make it fun. I always used to tell people quietly, I would do this for free. I mean, that's the attitude you have. You're doing it not for the money. You're doing it for the love. And that's the important. What about some people, though, Peter, who are reckless? They do reckless things, careless things. How do you categorize them?
They're blessed because they're still walking around.
Yeah, they are. Some of them.
You know, there's many paths through reality, and everyone, whether you're awake, you're asleep, you're somewhere in between, whatever your comfort zone is, it is born with a certain attitude, okay? And that attitude can change. Clearly, mine did. It took, you know, a wake-up experience for me to move from that empty shell into a loving world where I truly love myself and others. Someone that is reckless, you know, their wake-up experience might not be what mine was. It unfortunately could be possibly an accident. They could hurt themselves or even possibly hurt others for them to wake up and see maybe the error of their ways. And then, of course, you know, some people that are reckless will just go through life and naturally die of old age causes, never knowing trauma that they cause not only themselves but to others in their life.
Peter Schenck with us. We're going to take calls next hour with Peter. Share your own stories about some of the things you've heard. Tell us what you've come across. And I guess schools don't teach this, do they, Peter?
They don't.
Could they, if they wanted to?
You know, there's...
That sounds like a no.
Well, the answer in today's, the way the reality is going today, it's absolutely no. The way things are changing in the future, it's going to be a wholeheartedly yes. Okay? I believe that there is a reset coming. Okay, I don't mm-hmm. know when. I don't know what form it's coming in. I don't know how it will be delivered. Okay, I just know that it's coming.
It's coming. And Peter, stay with us. We're going to be coming right back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.